This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The Michigan Campaign Finance Network has been looking into links between state lawmakers and nonprofit groups that can accept money from secret donors. The watchdog group says that those organizations can raise money from sources known to the lawmaker, but not to the public. Craig Mauger is director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Hello, Craig.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. He joins us from the Michigan Public Radio Network studios in Lansing. So these particular nonprofit groups, what sort of things do they actually do?
Well, I would say, you know, out front that we don't know to the full extent what these organizations do because they don't have to disclose detailed information about how they spend every dollar that they take in. You know, if a candidate's campaign raises money, they have to tell the Secretary of State, and through the Secretary of State, it goes to the public, how they spend every dollar that they take in. These groups, a lot of them don't have to file any disclosures on what they're doing with the money. If they raise more than $50,000 in a year, which is a pretty high threshold, they have to file information that's kind of broad. You know, we spent this amount of money on travel. It just says travel. We spent this amount of money on conferences. If you ask these lawmakers what they're spending the money on, usually they will say, we are spending the money on charitable causes within our legislative districts, buying backpacks for students, sending kids to summer camp, putting on events for veterans. Those are some examples of what lawmakers have told us.
Well, those things all sound like the sort of things that nonprofit groups do. So I suppose someone listening might say, what's the problem with backpacks or kids going to camp or an event for veterans?
Yeah, so the concern here and the reason that we're looking into this is, you know, one, the mystery around it. We are left to trust the lawmakers that that's what they're using the money for. We do know also that some of these organizations are used to do political things like send out mailers that don't tell you how to vote, but kind of tell you, hey, this lawmaker's great, and here's all the things he's doing in the community or she's doing in the community. So there's that side to it. The bigger thing, though, is that the people donating to these groups, and the lawmakers will tell you this, tend to be interest groups that want to build relationships with lawmakers. So there is very, at the center of all of this, is an effort to influence lawmakers through making anonymous contributions to these accounts. The public does not know who is giving to these accounts connected to lawmakers. Often, the public doesn't even know if their lawmaker has one of these accounts. And the people who do know about them and are actively giving to them are interest groups that are trying to sway policies that are before those lawmakers.
So you start off in this report by telling us about Mike Knopfs, who is now the former state senator for the district that included the city of Battle Creek. He was also the president of Empower Michigan. What do we know about Empower Michigan?
So Empower Michigan was a nonprofit organization that was around for many years while Senator Knopfs was in the legislature. And what we found out through a tax filing that we were kind of lucky to chance upon was there was a nonprofit connected to one of the state's major electric utilities, DTE Energy. And at some point in 2017, this was a year after the legislature passed a major overhaul of energy laws in the state. At some point in 2017, Michigan Energy First, this nonprofit connected to the electric utility, reported making a $20,000 grant to Empower Michigan, which was a nonprofit connected to Senator Knopfs.
And at the time, Senator Knopfs was the chairman of the Senate Energy and Technology Committee and therefore very influential in that energy overhaul that you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, he was probably one of, you know, four lawmakers that had the biggest sway over that energy package.
And Senator Knopfs, now former Senator Knopfs, is quoted in your report as saying that he whatever the rules are, you follow them, he says. Based on what you can see, did this group, Empower Michigan, and Senator Knopfs follow the rules such as they are?
There are very lacking rules in this sphere. But yes, it appears he followed the rules. I mean, again, we don't have the documentation as to where the money went. We don't have how much was raised. We don't have any of that. But the rules that we know of and what is publicly available to us, his nonprofit definitely was following the rules.
As you noted, Senator Knopf said, look, this group did things like send kids to summer camp. You also talked to State Representative Ronnie Peterson. He's a Democrat from the Ann Arbor area. He's quoted as saying that contributions to these nonprofit groups allowed them to make donations to groups in their district. Where does it get murky in terms of where the money might be going to help veterans, scholarships, and where it might be actually doing something political?
Yeah, so I think all of it is a bit murky. You know, if you have a backpack drive in your community and you have an event where kids can come and get backpacks and you have your picture and name everywhere over, you know, the city park that you're at where you're handing out the backpacks, there is obviously a political benefit to you. If you get a press release or a picture of you handing out the backpacks in your local newspaper, there's a political benefit to you. But there are definitely instances that are much more political than that, that these groups are involved in. I mean, some of these groups have been listed in disclaimers on mailers or other types of advertisements that have gone out promoting a candidate for public office. I mean, there was a one of the accounts sent out mailers in the district before the election talking about how great the lawmaker was that had raised money for it. And, you know, the suspicion that I have, and I think many others have, is once this money ends up in some of these nonprofit accounts, there's very little keeping it from being given to another nonprofit without us knowing, and then that money being used to send out mailers. I mean, we don't know for sure, but that there is some evidence of that being something that's occurring here.
Are there restrictions on how, for instance, Empower Michigan can spend that money? Are there things that would raise red flags if they spend it on X?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, first off, I would say the IRS, which is in charge of monitoring these, has had major staffing cutbacks and has not aggressively been able to kind of enforce the few rules that there are for these social welfare. These are called social welfare organizations. But the main regulation here is that these organizations are not supposed to have a primary focus of getting involved in political campaigns. That's not supposed to be their main focus. So they're not supposed to be generally spending more than 50% of their money on active political campaigning. That would not include, you know, a backpack drive or some event in your community where your picture is plastered all over the place.
So based on what you have found in Michigan and based on what you know about how other states operate, are there some real differences between what's happening here and what might be happening in some of the other 49 states?
Yes. I mean, there seems to be some major differences from people I've talked to previously in other states. They are not aware of this happening in their state. I mean, it takes a lot of research to figure out what's happening in Michigan, just to get our hands around what's happening in Michigan. But, you know, first I would say, in this country, there is a long history of trying to regulate or disclose efforts by politicians to influence voters. I mean, that goes back to George Washington trying to regulate politicians' efforts to influence voters, and trying, you know, it goes back 100 years, efforts to try to force public office holders to disclose where they're getting their money from when they're raising money from outside sources. I mean, this, what's happening in Michigan now, where a majority of lawmakers seem to be connected to these funds that are raising anonymous contributions, goes against a long tradition in this country of trying to get public office holders to be open with the public about the money they're raising from people that have matters before them. In a lot of states, Ohio is one we listed there in the report, and at the federal level, members of Congress tend not to have these accounts because there are policies that are around lawmakers' ability to solicit money from outside groups or to outside groups to entities that don't fall under campaign finance disclosure requirements. So it gets a bit complicated, but in Michigan, our campaign finance disclosure requirements are about campaigns and political action committees that spend money telling people how to vote, or telling people to vote for a specific person or vote against a specific person. In a lot of other states, the disclosure requirements are around the solicitation of the donation, the solicitation of the contribution, or they're a bit broader in their ethics laws and where they reach. I mean, what we talk about in the piece is, how we did a lot of this research is there are a few corporations out there that disclose giving that they make that they describe as political. corporate giving from the corporate entity, not from, you know, employees of the corporation. If you go look at those disclosures, like CVS Health, AT&T, Reynolds American, or some we mentioned, you look at all of their corporate political giving across the different states, and in most states, it's very clear who they're making the contributions to. So, in, you know, Tim Smith's committee for State House, in some states it would be listed. When you get to Michigan, you'll find that the names of these groups are mysterious at best, and you can't identify who's actually connected to them. West Michigan Community Preservation Fund, Keep Michigan Growing, Building a Stronger Michigan, Making Government Accountable. These are the groups that are listed. So even though the corporation is disclosing, hey, we're making this political contribution at the state level, the public has no idea where the money's ending up because they're, the money's flowing through these entities that aren't directly, aren't openly connected to lawmakers and aren't disclosing what they're up to.
So in your report, you say an analysis by the Michigan Campaign Finance Network found links between a majority of the 148 lawmakers serving last year and accounts or organizations that could raise money from sources known to the lawmaker but unknown to the public. A majority is a fairly broad number to use there. I guess I'm wondering, do we know how big a majority, or is there still some question about exactly how many lawmakers do have ties to these groups?
I mean, I think there is some question about how large of a majority it is. So in 2016, we partnered with MLive to do an investigation, and at that time we found connections between a third of the legislature. There are 148 members of the legislature, and we were able to find connections between a third of them. In this report, we were able to find connections between 75 of the 148 lawmakers and these types of groups. And then we also listed in the report, you can go, if someone wants to look them up, they can find them there. We also found about 20 other entities that were receiving corporate contributions that these corporations were describing as political contributions, but we couldn't determine for certain connections between that entity and a specific lawmaker. I mean, one case is there was an entity that was using the address of a lawmaker's campaign committee. We weren't certain that that was evidence of a connection between that lawmaker and the entity, so we put that entity in the mystery group section. The connections we are talking about that are clear is if a lawmaker is on the board of one of these nonprofits, if a lawmaker's legislative staffers who, you know, these staffers are paid with, you know, your tax dollars, my tax dollars to work in the legislature, but on the side, they're working as a board member, probably free of charge, for one of these entities. If you could see that a lawmaker's legislative director was on one of these boards and that entity was receiving political contributions, you know, that's a connection. In a lot of these cases, it was a lawmaker's spouse that was the connection. In some of the cases, the nonprofit was listing an address that was the same as a lawmaker's home address. So these are the type of connections that we were able to determine. And in some of the other cases, there was evidence that the fund was connected to a certain lawmaker. We were able to get in touch with that lawmaker, and they confirmed that, yes, I do use this account.
Could there be more of these groups out there, these nonprofit groups that have some sort of a tie to a lawmaker, but yet maybe they just haven't been uncovered yet by your group or somebody else?
Yeah, that is very possible. And it is very likely. A lot of this, you know, we're talking about lawmakers serving in 2018 because there tends to be about a year delay from when we can find, you know, any public record about one of these accounts and when the group forms and starts receiving contributions, because the way 501c4 nonprofit organizations file tax returns is it's about a year after the year ends that they have to file some type of report with the IRS about what they were doing the previous year. There is a year delay, and some of these organizations, if they're taking money from entities that don't file any type of voluntary disclosure, if there's no clear connection between the entity and a lawmaker, it's very possible and very likely that they, you know, can fly under the radar completely, and there probably are some doing that.
Your report says that more lawmakers appear to be using nonprofit organizations or administrative accounts to raise money for activities that fall outside of the narrow scope of Michigan's campaign finance law. In other words, is this a strategy that someone may be using to try to conceal the identity of donors and perhaps use money in a way that is outside of the public's view?
Yes, I mean, I think that is the strategy for many of the people involved here, is that this is a way to take money from parties that want to give me money and for no one to know that that's happening. And that is that there's a lot of fear in that, because, you know, the public's belief is that they can go to campaign finance disclosures and see who's giving money to their lawmaker and trying to influence them. If you are able to hide the contributors that you feel would have the most public backlash, or a connection to them would provide the largest public backlash in your district, why wouldn't you just have them give to one of these accounts that doesn't disclose its donors? You can still get the money and use it for things that might promote yourself or might have a benefit, but no one would ever know that you have a connection to that entity.
Craig Mauger is director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Thank you very much for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me, Gordon.
He joined us from the Michigan Public Radio Network studios in Lansing. Links to the Michigan Campaign Finance Network's reports can be found at mcfn.org and also through links at wmuk.org. You can subscribe to WMUK's West Southwest through Apple Podcasts and by searching podcasts in Google Music. It's also at our website, wmuk.org, and available through the WMUK app. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.